Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we come together today. We just open our heart to you, Lord, for you to minister through your word to us, to our heart, Lord, that may be able to receive, may be able to hear, may be able to apply to our life and be able to receive the things you have prepared for us. We just give you honor and glory and praise, Lord. For we know, Lord, that that is where we can get all the truth that we need. And we open your word to you, Lord, and to us, Lord, to hear and to receive today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue on the topic that of grace. And the importance to understand and to be able to receive things is to be able to connect with God's grace. It's not the things that we do, but, through our faith in what he has done and what has made available to us, okay, then we can be able to appropriate the things that he has done for us. So, and really the scripture, the basic scripture that we are going to expand on today is Ephesians 2:8. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Okay. Thing is, this is a really loaded scripture. There are lots of concepts and ideas that are very important for us to understand. And sometimes there is really confusion on those. Because principle of grace are really the topic that I'm focusing on at this time. And it's a topic that, often is talked about, but not necessarily in the truth. So we want to make sure that we understand so that we can connect. Our doctrine is important because when it's not according to the way God established the ideas, then we are not going to be able to benefit from that because we just cannot connect with God's function and power. Okay. Really, this is important to understand. Okay. And really, this scripture really is connected to everything we experience as believers. Okay. Because it's dealing with the way God operates and functions in us to produce the results of our interaction with Him in the salvation that is manifested in our life. We need to have that, not just from a theological point of view, not just from theory, not just by ideas, but actually as a reality in our life. Okay, and comes also the idea that we need to really make that connection with God. Okay, not just superficially, but from our heart level. The place where the things actually happen within us that motivate us, okay? And so we start really in that relationship, in our connection with God, in our trusting Him, in trusting what He has done, in trusting about the relationship He wants with us, the covenant that He has established with us, okay? We need to understand that, okay? We have to understand that, grace is not just a gift. It's much more than a gift. It's a gift. It doesn't say what it is. It's the way it's operating. Okay, the fact that we cannot get it anyway by earning it or whatever. Okay, it means simply the fact that this is the way it's operating. But the idea is that God's grace is the power of God manifesting in our life to give us victory. Everything that we receive from God is by grace. Okay, we have no right to these things, but because of the way He has established a covenant for us to be able to receive the things that He wants to give us. He has to kind of go around, justice in a way that justice will be satisfied, not through us, but through Him. Okay, and so this is the way we have to really understand, okay, we have to understand to be able to receive all the promises of God starting from salvation into, you know, salvation involves everything that he has done and given to us. Starting from becoming his children, starting from, but it's all has to do with the power of God that is manifested in our life, enabling us, empowering us. It's not our power, it's his power available to us to do the things that he wants to do. And if that's the case, there is absolutely no problem. I mean, this is going to work really well if we don't get in the way too much with our own ideas and our own theories. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, Jesus established a better covenant that is much better than the one was here before. Okay. And in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it talks about that. And I'm going to just touch some basic things that we covered some part on last week, because we want to move on. We want to get more from what this idea. But, you know, in the idea of God's grace, there is so much that we can connect with him, so much that we can benefit from him when we fully grasp and understand his intention, his way of operating, his, you know, the result that we can expect in us, and that we can see actually in us, not just in scriptures, but we should see it actually as a reality that we live in. Otherwise, we haven't really made the connection. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. So this is we have much better promises than were ever before from the things that Jesus did. Okay. Because he came. And was not just the law, like Moses. He was full of grace and truth. Those two things are essential to connect with God. Grace is, has to do with the fact that he wants to give us a blessing, minister to us, to our needs, to our shortcomings, to our weaknesses, to our needs in general. Okay, but that's not going to be happening without the truth. The truth means really what the way he thinks, the way he operates, the way he is. He is truth, besides being love. But, basically, that is fundamental. If you are not in the truth, you are not connecting with God. Simple as that. And that has to do with the way we think, that our thought has to be aligned up with his thought, not with our ideas. And we're going to see more about that, okay? The way he thinks, Jesus, in the Last Supper, banquet that he had, there just before the crucifixion, in John 17:17 said, "Sanctify them through your truth, your word is truth." So you can get right there a principle and a concept that is very important to understand. Okay, that the way we are going to find the truth is through his word. There is no other place in which we can find the truth. Okay, but we had to really connect with the word in the way it was intended, not the way we want to interpret or understand. We had to really connect with the meaning of what he said in the way he intended when he spoke to it. So, because it's very clearly in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says very clear that, God's word is not of any private interpretation. So it cannot just be according to the way you think about it. It's the way that is written there. And sometimes it's not easy to find what is written there, because we can take a scripture out of context and doesn't give us all the information we need. And so we need to really, it's not just a question of going one scripture, two scripture, the scripture we like that we separate from all the others because we like them and we ignore the other. Everything, the whole counsel of God has to be considered at the same time. Our ideas are too much with everything else. And so the more we know, the better it is, because the more likely you are going to really align ourselves with God's counsel. Are you following me? So it's important not just to be selective. You know, you can't remove Bible pages because you're not comfortable with them. If you are not comfortable with them, there is a reason. And the reason is that you don't think along the same line, and so some thinking has to be changed. So even when that happens, you know, you shouldn't take it in the negative. You should rejoice. You know, when I find something that I say, this is strange, I start rejoicing about it because I said, something is wrong with the way I think that I had to change, and I start investigating and try to find out why, you know, I had that particular feeling. So it's not a question of turning the page or pushing it away. It's a question of getting in. It's a question of getting closer to God. Because when you are closer to God and your thoughts are lined up with His Word, with His thinking, then you are going to be lined up with His Word as well. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So this is, you know, the truth really is in God's thoughts, the Logos, you know, that became flesh. If you just John 1:14, 1:1, you know, says in the Word became flesh. So you see the idea that God's Word, you know, was manifested in Him. And so what He did is always a representation of what God thinks. And that is even what He said Himself. Praise the Lord. See, God's truth is revealed through God's Word. Now, in God's Word, there is power. In the thought, the concept there, once, you know, is not abstract, you know, it's just when God's Word works in you and you understand it and you all line up with Him, then it's going to manifest God's power in you. He's going to work and produce result because He sent it for a purpose, and His purpose is going to be fulfilled if you line up with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And that is the way things happen. It's not by your own work, not by your own effort. You know, Jesus 8:31-32 said, you know, if you stay in My Word, and My Word stay in you, you shall be My disciple indeed. You know, dwelling in His Word, that means really that you are actually doing it, that you are practicing it, you are doing everything that it says, and you become His disciple, the one that learned from Him. And you shall know what? The truth. And what the truth is going to be? Set you free. So you see, there where the power is. When you, from the Word, get the truth, embrace it, allow it to work in you, you stay in them. There is no effort that you have to make to break through. The breakthrough comes from when you receive the truth and you allow the truth to work in you. And automatically, supernaturally, God's power is going to work in you to produce the things He said He would do. It's not that you have to sweat for it. You have not to try to work hard. No, you connect with the Word. You stay in the Word. You allow the Word to be revealed to you through the Holy Spirit that is working in you, that is quickening to you to that. And God's power is going to be inside you. It's not your power, it's His power. You have limited, very limited power. But His power is infinite. So He can do anything. Even the things that are not possible with men. That's why Jesus said too. Praise the Lord. So it's the truth that we have to connect. Not just the thing, the rules, the thing that we have to do. No. It's the truth of God in what He does what he wants to do the way he wants to do, what the world working in you is going to produce the result by itself. But you have to allow it. See, this is really including all the blessing, all the promises, everything that God has done is going to come through this route. It's going to happen that way, through the truth. And this is really the idea of salvation that comes to him in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Okay? The way you're going to function, the way you're going to operate, the way you're going to work. Okay? So we have to understand. Okay, for that to happen, there are to be two components. First, the grace of God that is not you anyway, is God. Okay? But there is another component, is through, by grace, through faith. Now, faith has to come from you. And you have to understand what faith is to be able to connect with him and to receive. And what faith is given in Hebrews 11:6, that says, you know, without faith it's impossible to please him. Okay? But he who believes, he who comes to him must believe that he is. Even the devil believes that, but doesn't do any good. Because he doesn't understand that, he doesn't accept the fact that he is a one that blesses those who seek him diligently. Okay, so the seeking diligently component of God is the thing, believing that. That's what faith is. Because when you have faith, is you seek him diligently. And that means you seek his direction, he seeks your understanding, he seeks the word, you connect with him. And then the truth comes to you and does the work that you have received. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, what is required is to be able to receive is faith. Actually, I like to add a word to that, not just faith, because faith is just believing. I call it living faith. There is no such a word in, I haven't been found in the Bible, but it talks about dead faith, which is the opposite. So if there can be dead, there could be something that is living too. Okay? And that's the one that produces result. The other one, the dead faith, or is not what doesn't do any thing, any doesn't produce any result. Are you following me? So it's just not faith. It's just that you believe, but don't believe with your heart. It's just a question. You may even agree with it, but you really are not committed to the word. Okay? So that is what makes the difference. Okay? Now, as a result of that, you start to having some experiences. You have to have some realities taking place inside you. That becomes fundamental, that becomes critical. Actually the evidence that you got something, that the power of God is operating inside you. See, there has to be evidence manifested. Okay, because God is powerful, can do all things, but we want to see the things that he's doing. And well, that the only thing you have to do is to read the Bible, read the word, and tell you exactly, you do this, that's what you're going to get. Okay? So, we can see many things that we also saw last week. One of the things that happened, in Romans 5:1 says very clearly that we are justified and have peace with God as a result of believing in Jesus and our active or alive living faith. I mean, so we don't go around feeling guilty. If we are justified, means that we have been forgiven for the sins that we have made, and so we are going to feel no guilt for those things because we have been forgiven, and we know we are forgiven, and we actually experience that forgiveness. Praise the Lord. It's not that we have to convince ourselves. We know we are justified. And we have peace with God because there is nothing there hanging anymore. He took care of it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then The other thing that we have to understand, you know, that this living faith, one of the major things that he does, is really, as given in, again, Romans 5:2, you know, give access to the grace of God. You see, opens the door for God's grace to work in us. So that, the, you know, his power, again, you know, that's really understanding. You know, God's grace is God's power concerning the things that we need. The blessing that he wants to put on us, the favor that he wants to show. And so, you know, our faith gives us access to God's grace. How do you get God's grace operating, manifesting, you know, for salvation that involves all the blessing that God wants to give you? Everything that God wants to do is included there, but is not manifested everything at the same time and to the completion for the time being. Okay. But it's going, the idea is that, you know, the process is going to start to manifest more and more as you connect with that, as your faith expands from faith to faith, from glory to glory. So it's not just that, you know, everything is dealt with, but there are things that as your truth concerning those things is revealed to you as you understand it, as you embrace it, as you align yourself, as you align your heart with it, then it's going to be manifested in you. Effortlessly, without any needing to push. You just, the only thing you do is you connect with the world, connect with the truth. When you connect with the truth, you know the truth, you get set free. Bondages fall off you. Can't stay in you when the truth is in you, because God's power is demolishing the bondages. He's destroying the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Let me continue. Okay, one of the manifestations is that as you receive this access to grace, you know, again, Romans 5:2, you know, you can have the notes with the whole description. And, you know, so this is a summary for you to actually consider the things that we need to remember as we are walking our walk, so that we can make that connection. And we thought, oh, how do I do that? Well, this is very clear. There are things that we have to do. You know, our grace, okay, is the manifestation of God's blessing and favor toward us, and we have access to it through by faith. So it's by faith, by trusting God, you are going to do that, not by claiming the things that you need. That's a major difference that it just shifted completely, okay, the power from you to God. You can try to push and hard and try to get things to happen, and you get there for time. It never works until you give up. And finally, you trust God that he promised, because he's faithful, because he's all powerful, because he can do all things. And you can't. And you never will, because you are not God. Are you following me? See, you stop sweating to get things spiritually. You start receiving from God because you depend on him. He is the sovereign power, the sovereign God, the only God that can do things supernaturally that way. And he's the one that has to do the judgment if you are there or not. It's one of the things that's going to happen, okay? Because of that, you know, you are going to be moved from faith to faith as the truth is revealed to you of there's diverse for different things, as you deal with different issues in your life. And you are getting the truth, understanding, receiving, and manifesting the freedom, the deliverance that he wants to do. Okay. Now, one of the result of that, okay, that you start experiencing joy. You start experiencing the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You see, the strength is not another thing that comes from that. It's grace again. You know, spiritual strength come and manifest itself in glory, in faith, and faith, you know, manifest the glory of God in you with the transformation that takes place. Praise the Lord. So you start rejoicing in not just for the things you got. You start rejoicing for the hope of the glory of God that is going to come and manifest more and more in you. It's not the past. It's the fact that you know where you're going. You know what's happening. You know the transformation that is taking place. Grace is transformation power. They get you from where you were before to what you get as you break through in a new area. Are you listening to me? And so you start rejoicing, but you don't rejoice only when things go well. Okay? You rejoice even in tribulation. Why? Because you know that God is the one controlling things, not the devil. The devil can do only what God allows him to do. And because he claims legally stuff. But God is not going to give in to him. The devil has to give in to God. And so, you know, the word says very clearly, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that God does not allow you to be tempted or to give through any problem more than you can overcome. He gives you a way out of it. If you listen, if you connect with him, instead of looking and fighting the devil, which is a complete waste of time, because he doesn't get tired and you get tired. I know the people that are there fighting the devil all the time. They are always under, not on top. They don't understand the principle that you don't fight that. God fights that for you. He is the one fighting the battles. That's what he did for Israel. That's what he does for us today. Even more because we are in a better covenant. Are you getting this? So we have in a position of victory to start with. If we just stay there and we are not moved by the circumstances, by what we see or what we feel, but that happens when we have experienced enough of the victory that God gives us, that we start trusting him, because that's what faith is. Trusting him about anything, but really, you know, trusting him because he's faithful, he's just. If he says something, we believe it, and we just stand there. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is just the beginning. This is just, you know, the way we start. Okay? We start to understand the way God functions. The way that he is full of knowledge. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows better for us what to do than we know ourselves. Our judgment is not as good as his judgment because he has full knowledge. We don't. So we just trust him in whatever circumstances we are. Did you ever see Paul fighting the devil? He didn't waste time. The Bible doesn't say fight the devil. It says resist the devil. Which is a completely thing. It's a completely different thing. You just don't let him influence you with the stories he puts up. That's it. But you trust God. Connect with God, get close to God. You got God's power inside you. He has to flee. I don't have any water. Anyway, so now, also in Romans 5:5-6, it's very simply the fact that we, you know, as we trust in God, we are not going to be disappointed. Okay? Why? Because, you know, we are not based by the physical thing by ourselves, because the love of God has been put in our heart by the Holy Spirit when we were born again. And we start understanding the love of God. Thank you. It's dry. Now, sure. No, that's okay. Just, I don't know how much they do, but anyway. Okay, so here. Okay. So, and this is a final thing, okay, that we have to talk about. Okay. We're going to talk more about the power, transformation power of God. Okay. But, you know, in Ephesians 2:10, okay, we see that expressed, you know, very clearly after the saying that, you know, the power, that, you know, we are saved by grace through faith, you know, is the work of God. Then in verse 10 it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, so the idea here is saying that, you know, one of the manifestations of that impact of the grace of God, that we are going to start doing good works. That doesn't mean, you know, the fact that says, you know, before, not by works, is not the works that we try to get approved by God. It's the works that we do because we love God and we want to do the things he wants us to do, okay? Because we love him. Out of the love that we have for him, okay? That is the result of the fact that he first loved us. You know, First John 4:19 says, and we love him because he first loved us. So because he loved them, you know, we are motivated by love to do the things that are pleasing him, okay? And trusting God that, you know, he desired to minister to us. He desired to help us, and he's going to guide us into the things we need to understand. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, when Paul prayed for the, you know, Colossians, okay, he prayed this prayer that is very similar to the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and following. Okay, he said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, okay, that they were get saved, you know, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in the wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, the key here is saying, you know, that that we need to have to participate in this progress of our salvation inside us, in which we grow in the Lord and in his transformation power. We connect with his grace. See, it's not just when we got saved the first time. You know, it's just the grace of God after we got saved is there all the time. And should be there all the time. Why? Because we should have, you know, we should know God, should know that he wants to help us, and he's going to help us in the growing process. Okay? So, the idea is that, you know, we start understanding, but, you know, we have to know God's will. And to know God's will, okay, we have to understand the way he functions, the way he works. You know, the children of Israel didn't get anywhere when they were in the desert. They were just through complaining, not understanding what was going on. Okay, but Moses didn't see just the power of God. He knows God's way. And so when we start knowing God's way, the way Moses did, we can align up. We can, instead of complaining, we can start opening up, starting to listen. When there is things happening, we ask for direction. Praise the Lord. We don't go by our ideas, we go by His suggestion. Hallelujah. So, you know, we need wisdom and spiritual understanding in the knowledge of God's will. The knowledge of God's will is critical for us to know what God wants to do with us and to understand how we can connect with that will. You see, in the Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about the transformation of our thinking or our mind. Okay, the renewal of my mind that has to go on according to the scriptures. Okay, but he says, so that we can know the good and perfect will of God. Okay, but it just doesn't happen all the instantaneously we know all the will of God. You know, this is a things that happen and develop with time as we relate to Him, as He guides us, as we show us what to do. And as we show us how to do is by the process that we have been talking about, you know, in which the Word, we dwell in the Word reveals the truth, and the truth is really the will of God for us concerning those situations. And one of the things that we understand is that God really wants to help us. He is there to help us. And because He's willing, we start trusting Him instead of trusting our own ideas. You see, that's a critical part, because otherwise we try to control stuff. We try to have everything under control. That's a natural way to do. Well, you cannot control everything. Actually, you can control very little. But when you start trusting His direction, then He takes over the control. See, and that's what just exactly the way Jesus operated. See, I don't do my own will. I do the will of my Father, because He knows that, you know, I myself, I can do nothing. John 5, you know, 19 and 30, they say the same thing there. My judgment is not, you know, my judgment is His judgment, and I follow His judgment, His direction. Are you following me? And that is when we start understanding what the will of God is. Concerning practical situation. You see, having wisdom and spiritual understanding, wisdom is to know what to do in the circumstances you are. Okay, to know exactly what to take, what you should be doing. And you don't have all the information. We have partial information. We sometimes have ideas of what we want to do, but it's not necessarily the best thing to do. If for you get it from God, you're going to be much better off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So He's going to help you in the decision that you do, in your attitude that you have to have. See, children of Israel, attitude was always wrong. And it was turning off God instead of getting Him to help them. Okay? So, and then goes on here, you know, there is a scripture I'm referring to now is Colossians 1:9. You know, Colossians 1:10, you know, says, you know, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, that's the something that is going to happen inside you as you start having the right attitude to connect with Him. Instead of trying to control things yourself, you start depending on God because you trust Him. And because, just, you know, Proverbs 3:5-10, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart, depend not on your own understanding. I mean, it seems like crazy thing to say, but that's not crazy. This is God's idea, God's way of doing things. Doesn't mean you do stupid things. It means that you learn from the Word what the Word says that you should be doing. And go according to that instead of according to your own idea, your own solution. And sometimes you're just the opposite of what you should be doing. Praise the Lord. So you start working worthy of the Lord. That means the Lord is being pleasing, fully pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work. So you see, when you start doing that, you start to see things are really happening all the time. little things. I know, you know, if sometimes big things take longer time because there are many things involved, many little steps. Okay, but you can start seeing little steps happening all the time as God reveals to you the things to do and things fall into place. And you say, oh, I didn't do anything for it. Yeah, well, you've been listening. You have been, you know, you are getting some wisdom from on high that you tell you what to do. Okay? And you are starting to increase in what? In knowing God, in the knowledge of God. Out of what? Out of your experience daily, dealing with Him, helping you, guiding you in the things you do. Are you following me? See? Praise the Lord. Okay. You know, that means that when you do these things, you know, pleasing Him, you know, means that your behavior, the way you do, okay, is the way God wants you to have it. Okay? Pleasing God, you only do it. The only way you can do that is by faith. Okay? Again, Hebrews 11:6. Okay? That you believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, so you start doing what He wants us to do. Okay? Fruitful in every good work. So, you know, when you do the things, they're going to work. You have been told to be successful about the things you do. Okay? Not only that, but you are starting to understand Him better and better. You don't feel like God is somewhere else and you cannot connect with Him. You know that He's there just behind you, just on your side. You know, the Holy Spirit is your helper there. You know, your backup that is there guiding you in the things that you have to do. Hallelujah. Okay? So this is going to propel the spiritual transformation that He is doing inside you. Hallelujah. Okay. There are many other things that are happening inside you at the same time. Okay. They are going to grow bit by bit, faith by faith, glory by glory. Okay. You know, verse 11, being strengthened with all power. Which power? Your power or His power? You see, that's why His power is working inside you and you start recognizing, I'm not doing anything, but things happen by themselves. Okay? According to His glorious might, not your might, His might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Again, go back to the joy that I was talking about before. I mean, you start really enjoying the process. Because you see things happening, okay? And you know, you are not impatient anymore. You know, you're trying to push things faster than they can go. It's not going to work, okay? Patience means that you can go along and let it happen. God's time, God's preparation, when God knows this is the right time, the things happen. But you start seeing maybe big things that need many steps. We take longer time. But to make all those steps, you have to take all little steps that is going to guide you, and you're going to see the results for those. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, you are strengthened with power. His power, supernatural power. There, what power is dunamis, which is supernatural. But then it talks about might, you know, is strength. Okay, there, that word there. So, but the things that start to happen inside you, that the fruit of the Spirit are going to be starting to manifest. Like, you know, patience, endurance, and joy. They're going to be manifested in you, and you are not there. It never happens, you know, it's going to take forever. No, you are just at rest about the situation because you see that God is going to do. He's doing so many other things that the other things that you care about is going to happen too. Praise the Lord. And so the final result is that verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, hallelujah, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saint in the light. So you see, the attitude shift that I'm talking about here. He's talking about how that spirit of wisdom and revelation that he was talking before is going to have an effect on all these other manifestations which are actually experiences that you have. okay, at little things that God is actually doing, and you recognize because your eyes have been opened, because you see the truth, because you are in the truth. And so you see God working in you, empowering you, and enabling you to say, oh my goodness, the time is gone. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you see what the process, the transformation process of the grace of God working inside you, empowering you, not to do this big show the way generally people expect, you know, like people, like, for example, what was happening with the Corinthian church, trying to have the, all this manifestation that end up being fake. God manifestation are true, and they are happening all the time, and they don't make a show, but they make a difference. And they pile up, and as they pile up, you know, they, you are walking better and better, worthy of the Lord, because the Lord is behind you, with you, helping you, manifesting you in yourself in your life, and teaching you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, and finally, verse 13 says, and he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So you start seeing, okay, I'm already in the kingdom here. I'm already walking in a supernatural way, and it's not necessarily, you know, big shows, but actually continuous transformation that takes place inside you. So that you don't get boastful about, you know, how special you are, but just, you know, you know that God is doing the work. And you see that happening regularly, daily, all the time. And that gives you all the, you know, the strength in you, in your faith that grows exponentially because of all the reinforcement that you get. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, this is a reality that we had to come into. A reality of our relationship with God, our supernatural relationship with good God that is manifested moment by moment by the things we do regularly. Because he's working in us. Because his power is working in us. And so we start looking at things in a completely different way, no longer, you know, looking at the physical thing, but really be able to walk in the Spirit according to his direction, his word, his truth, and not according to the things that you see and other people see, but after they see it too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a good place to stop. I had one third of the thing I prepared for tonight. But that's okay. Do you get anything? Okay, that's the important part. You know, it's not quantity, it's quality that makes a difference. Okay? Now, you know, there is so much. You know, the subject of grace is so much because it's connected with all the God's manifestations in us, all the way he interacts, what everything he gives us, all the promises are really, you know, we get them by grace, not because we can claim them. Okay? He gives them to us. He creates them in us, like everything else, like our relationship with him is created by him in us. Otherwise, if we try to do it ourselves, you're going to be messed up and get into religion. Okay? That's what people do. Make formulas, make things. You know, formulas don't work with God. He's too original to use formula. Because he has a way for each particular situation, person, and things, you know? I mean, each snowflake. And I'm talking about snowflakes here. All right, let's close in prayer. Okay? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your power, your love. We just are open ourselves to you for the guidance and the wisdom and the understanding, Lord, that we need to walk day by day. We thank you that you made it possible for us to connect with you, to know you in a personal way, and to see your mighty power work in our life. Thank you for everything you have done. Lord, let us recognize and manifest all the results that you want to produce in us. In Jesus' name we pray and believe and trust in you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.